God, I'm thankful for your word. I thank you for people who have gathered together to hear it. God, I ask that you would help us to be transformed by it, to be people that you've called us to be. Let us not walk out of here in the same manner that we walked in. Let us be full of joy, full of peace, and focused on the things that you would have us to do. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the last summer, I taught my children how to start fires with a magnifying glass. It's a good time. That happened. It was a good time. We're moving, right? Or we were moving. We're moved now. And so we're moving stuff out of the house that we're moving into and stuff into the house that we're moving into. And it was a big, lots of moving. And somewhere along the way, one of my kids pulled out a magnifying glass. I said, oh, let's have some fun. And so we took it over and I set it up on some bricks and I set a little bit of stuff underneath it and I said, this is how you start fire. And I showed them how to do that. And that was a good idea. Trust me. It was kind of a, hey, kids, watch this. And then my kids were picking up the magnifying glass and they couldn't quite get it, which is fine. But the reality is that we learned how to do that. And the way that you start fire with a magnifying glass is that you hold the glass in a way that it focuses all of the sun's energy into one little spot. And that little spot gets hot enough to burn you, to burn rocks, to burn stuff, to kill ants. If you were ever an adolescent male child with a magnifying glass, you know you can kill ants with a magnifying glass. And you can zap them and cook them in a line. Hunting with a magnifying glass. The way that that works is that the magnifying glass, not in this way, does not magnify anything, but really just brings everything to a focus. A very small, hot, powerful focus. It takes all the energy from the sun into the smallest possible circle. When you do that, with all of the energy focused into one area, it gets really hot, and if you have combustible material, it will burn. Magnifying glasses are readily available, which is kind of terrifying, having all that other information. They're sold at Walmart, probably Walgreens and Dollar General too. Combustible material is readily available. The lint in your pocket is a good start. So it's combustible. The sun is literally always out there and available to you. The ingredient that brings all of that together is intentional focus. A magnifying glass on its own is totally harmless. It helps us see. Some of you have magnifying glasses you carry around every day with wire wrapped around them, strapped to your face. You can do the same thing with glasses. They're readily available. The ingredient that brings it together is focus. Intentional focus. Focus is defined as an action to pay particular attention to a specific thing. That's what focus is. I can focus on a thing by looking at it and paying special attention to it. That's to be focused. As a noun, focus is the state or the quality of having or producing clear visual definition. So with cameras, you bring something into what you call focus by turning the lens to create a clear image so that you see correctly. The specific thing that we focus on in our lives is the thing that we put the most energy into, the most thought, the most care, the most of our resources. And that's, a lot of us have picked a thing or a few things in our lives where we've decided to focus. Through that, the things that we focus on are also the things that are most improved. It's the stuff that you get better at. You're focused on this, you get better at that. You focus on this other area, you experience growth there. I'm going to step on some toes here. People that are really good at growing plants, the only reason they're better than you at growing plants is because they're focused. They pay attention to it. The rest of us kill plants because we forget there's a plant. We have plants in the church, in the children's area. that Betty waters every week, if not more often than that. We put plants outside the front doors of the church, and they're always very beautiful, but someone has to focus on them and remember that they're there, or they're only beautiful for about 3 days. You have to water them and pay attention to them. People who are good at growing plants see the leaf that's curled over and know that that means something. They see the yellowing of a stem and they know that that means something. Some of us, like me, just look at it and say, oh, that's pretty. And then the next day, the plant's dead. Oh, because I wasn't focused on it. I'm just making all this stuff up. Please consult an actual plant person, not me. I don't know anything about plants. When you don't focus on something, especially important somethings, they die. They fall out. They become significantly less important if you don't have a focus on it. You killed the houseplant because you didn't water it last month or the month before or all of 2022. It was a hardy plant. It was a cactus. You thought it would live, but it didn't because you didn't think about it because it's a cactus and it didn't need your attention. As believers, Jesus calls our focus to be on Him and His glory. And that's sobering. He calls our focus to be on Him and His glory. The most important thing to us is supposed to be God and His name. On January 8th, I preached my message was called Controlled Burn, and I preached on the idea of being a disciplined believer. And I compared it to the idea of setting specific fires in our lives, specific things that we would do on purpose, for a reason, things that we actually have to do, not things that just happen to us or in us, so that we would be disciplined believers. Last week, my message was to be prepared, ready to answer for the hope that is within you, and the reality that we have to, first of all, have some hope. But then when we have that, to be able and willing to share it with the world. I said that we should have a relationship with Jesus worth talking about. If you don't have that, you're not going to talk about it. You're just going to say, oh yeah, my day was fine, and move on. We have to have a relationship worth talking about and exist in a state of being willing and able to talk about Him. We took a look at Philip and the way that he responded when God called him to minister to the Ethiopian eunuch, where he ran up and did the things that he was supposed to do. And now, all of that focused. Where we put our focus or who we put our focus on is really more important than how we focus or why. Because you can do a little bit of focusing without any help. It's just the thing that you think about most. You can get this part right and still be right without knowing a four-step process of doing it better. We don't have to go through a program to be a better focuser. You're focusing on something already. Our focus as believers should be on God and His glory and on righteousness. We spend a lot of our lives either totally focused on the wrong thing or looking at the right things with blurred vision. Those of you who wear glasses, you know what it's like to not have the right prescription on or to not have your glasses on. You can see some stuff, but not everything. You can see some stuff really blurry and other things sort of blurry. You need some corrective lenses in front of you to be able to focus your eyesight. We spend a lot of our lives living that way, looking at totally the wrong thing, distracted, or looking at the right things, just totally blurred. We have to focus. As we go throughout the next year, our focus will determine the things that we grow in our lives and the things that we cut away. It will really determine the life that we live. We're going through a process of 21 days of prayer and fasting. One of the things that I kicked out of my life is social media. That makes running that stuff back there kind of hard because there's only half of it that I'm really doing. But it's been really interesting to go through that and say, you know what, really, I don't need this at all. It really consumed a large part of my life. And I find myself still, now we're how many days in? Almost 14. And I'm picking up my phone to pull up an app that I deleted 2 weeks ago because it was that ingrained in who I was. If I'm focused on the right things, hey, I don't need that back. I don't need that in my life. We determine what we're going to let grow and what we're going to cut away. It will determine the life that we live. I understand that you can't be focused on just one thing. A lot of us in this room are raising children actively. You can't just focus on one thing. Those kids need to eat. They need to eat. Those kids need to wash themselves. They need taken care of. You can't just focus on yourself. But we can and should more and more determine that our focus, the most important thing, is Jesus. Why do we do that? Why does it matter that I focus more on Jesus than on homelessness? That's been an issue. The community has cried out and said, hey, homelessness is an issue. And it is. But as a believer, we have to know that, hey, I can focus on homelessness, but my most important focus must be on Jesus. Why does it matter that I'm focused more on lifting him up than I am on being a good employee? It's important to be a good employee, but God comes first. Why does it matter that I would focus on his name more than my own? I'm not trying to make me famous, but him. The reason is because our God tells us to. The parents in the room can tell you that sometimes the only reason that you need is because I said so. Stop. That's the only reason you gotta have, because I said stop. No, it's not actually hurting anything that you're bouncing on the bed, but please stop. Stop. Sometimes that's the only reason that we need. We've put our focus on Jesus because he said so. Matthew 22:37 says, he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. That was the greatest commandment as defined by Jesus. The commandment was to love God. The most important thing, above all other things that we put our focus on, that God wants us to do, is to love him. After that, to love your neighbor as yourself. God gave us the Ten Commandments through Moses. And what was the first one? To have no other gods but him. He wanted to be the only most important in your life. He wants your focus. Again, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He said, the people are special to me, and I will take care of the people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. A few verses later, he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be provided for you. You don't have to worry about material things. You don't have to worry about taking care of yourself. You don't have to worry about clothing yourself, feeding yourself, any of that, if you first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a couple pastoring in Ottumwa in a Foursquare church, and they were sharing with us the other night at dinner that provision for them has been really interesting over the last few months, because they both went full-time ministering in a church half the size of ours. And people have partnered with them and came alongside them and helped them. But their provision, they know, only comes from God. They had someone call and pay or give them the exact amount they needed for their car payment. And that's one story after another, after another, after another of God's provision in their life, because they are putting God first. God calls for our focus so that we are looking at him. When we talk about the way that we want to go about our day, God wants our focus. The way that we work, God wants to be that focus. The way that we exist, God wants to be that focused. The second reason is because it is good to exist that way. It is a blessing to exist in a way that glorifies God and puts Him at number one. Paul writes to the church in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read 7 through 11. He said, "But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead." He says to us today that knowing Jesus, really knowing Jesus, is more valuable than anything else He has ever done. If you know Paul and who he was special in the way that some of us consider ourselves to be special. He was important in his community. He was the best of the best of the people that he was a part of. He had a name for himself. He had stuff. He had power. He had influence. And he lost all of that to follow Jesus because Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and said, "Hey, this is the situation that you're in. Why are you persecuting me?" And his life was forever changed. He says to us today that knowing Jesus is more valuable than anything else he ever had. Anything else he has or has done or has known, this is better. He considers the rest D-U-N-G, dung, so that he can know Christ. Because existing in a way that focuses on Jesus and not on anything else is a good place to be. We sang that as a testimony this morning. He's been good to us. We've known him as a father and as a friend. He's been good to us. Some of us have been believers in this room longer than I have been alive. I'm blessed to know you because I know your testimony and your story and the things that you've gone through. And I've seen God work in you, and I look forward to the next problem in my life knowing, hey, he's already dealt with this for Ross. If he loved Ross enough to take care of that for him, he's going to take care of that for me. I can walk faithfully in that. Existing with a singular focus on the Lord. The third reason is because that is where we grow. Jesus told us in John chapter 15, "He is the vine, we are the branches. Without him, we are nothing. We can do nothing, we produce nothing as believers. We can do all sorts of things as worldly people. But without Jesus, this place is a concert venue at best, and it's not a good one. I've been to good concerts. This isn't one of them. We've got phenomenal musicians." He's not offending anybody. He's okay. He's fine. My kids have done way worse. One time we had a kid come through here. I was in the middle of preaching, and she was taking a dress off, walking down the middle of... So you're fine. Just be at home. It's fine. That happened. Somebody else jumped up, saved the day. It was great. It's good. Without Jesus, this is a concert venue at best. Without Jesus, everyone here is still going to hell. Without him, it's worthless. You got 50 people gathered together in a room listening to Ron play guitar and Robert play on the piano or guitar today. Good job, Robert. It's good. But there are better musicians than us that we could go to. And cheaper. You guys put a lot of money in that plate. There's cheaper tickets than what you're paying for. It's good. Everyone here is still going to hell without Jesus as our focus. With him as our focus, we thrive, we flourish, we produce fruit. We can exist in a way where things don't offend us, where we're not scared of anything, where we grow and multiply and experience things in the grace of God. It's good. We are the best version of ourselves when our eyes are planted firmly on Jesus. It's okay. How do we do that? The first thing is to eliminate noise. That's the number one priority. If you're trying to increase your focus, eliminate noise. Noise is a funny thing. We manipulate literal noise to increase or decrease our focus on things. Cleaning in the kitchen is a lot more fun if you can turn on some music and forget that you're washing dishes. I'm not washing dishes, I'm jamming. I just also happen to be like doing it this way and then this way. That's the way that we're jamming today. You increase noise to eliminate your focus on the stuff that's going on immediately in front of you. You're on a long drive, turn up the radio. Why do you turn up the radio? Because driving by itself sucks. Driving with music, concert. It's a good time. Noise can keep us awake or it can help us sleep. Noise is very interesting. I can tell that I'm getting older because I turn down the radio so that I can see more clearly while I'm driving. It's real. That's a real thing. Somehow you turn down the radio so you don't miss your turn. Are those things connected at all? No, but in your brain, if you don't turn down the radio, you're going to miss your turn. You will miss your turn if the radio is too loud. Or if the kids are talking in the back, they have had no impact on your driving the whole time. You've driven 6 hours, but now stop. Please. I need to figure out which exit to get on. Why? Because noise gets in the way. You can only focus on so many things in your head at one time. So when we need to focus, we have to eliminate noise. We have to cut some things out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 said, "Flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Noise in this context is just some of that stuff you're just really just not supposed to be focused on. It could be a lot of different things in your life. Paul calls out youthful passions. What are those? Braden, you got any youthful passions? Maybe? Fast cars, football, girls, girl. He was really impressed with that Mustang Dad got ready to go. I was impressed with it too. Youthful passions. Things you get really excited about. My nephew brought over a fantasy football trophy. His league made a trophy. Those of you that know fantasy football, you're just pretending. The whole thing is pretend. He got a trophy. And it's cool. Youthful passions. It's really cool. I'm not trying to negate that at all. It's cool. We have to cut out some of the noise. Our brains are going to be full, no matter what. They're going to be full of something. If you let them be full of nonsense and noise every day of the week, you're going to miss your turn. You can't exist with the radio on full blast all the time in your head. You can't. You have to cut some of that stuff out. I don't know what that stuff is for you. I know what it is for me. Part of it, like I said earlier, was social media. I did not realize how much time that took in my day. And I don't do anything. I post like 3 times a month or less. But it took a lot of my mental space. The second thing is to set aside actual time. So eliminate things in your headspace, but then set aside actual time, physical time throughout the day. You only get 24 hours the way that we set things up. And did you know that people who have never gone to church fill up their 24 hours just as well as you do? You have to cut things out to be able to follow Jesus the way that you're supposed to. You can fill up 24 hours without Jesus really easily. I did it for a long time. Many of you did it for a long time. You've been filling up 24-hour days for 50 or 60 years, some of you. How old is Elmer? He's been filling up 24-hour days for a long time. 85. He can fill a day up. His days aren't as exciting now as they used to be. He can still fill them up. Our day starts to look a lot like an unsaved person when we pack them full of stuff. Luke chapter 12, verse 34 says, "For where your heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where you put stuff, where you save stuff, where you let things exist, that's where your heart's going to be. We have to eliminate noise and set aside actual time. And the third thing is to point everything else. Make everything else directional in a way that it also contributes to your main focus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people." I was enjoying our worship team up here earlier. And as I looked across, I just started thinking about all of the different things that the worship team does in life. If we go across the platform here, we have Braden, who's a drummer, but he's also a high school kid. He's a football player when he doesn't break himself. He's an athlete. He does different things. He's a student. A lot of different things going on in his world, worshiping God. Ron used to sweep floors for the school, is a retired grandpa now. That's his world. Helping Sherry run an eBay business. That's what's going on in their lives. And it's cool. Robert's wrenching on vehicles that he understands and vehicles he doesn't understand on a regular basis, putting up with nonsense. Eden was a secretary for a while. Now she's parenting five girls at home and doing this stuff. Ron Jr. is doing all sorts of nonsense. I brought him a picture of himself in the paper from doing music downtown. It's good. They've all got these things that they have to do. We all have stuff in our lives. Jasmine is doing daycare nonsense. Lots of things with children. It's nonsense, okay? We got this many kids here. It's fun. Betty is doing laboratory testing on flour and nonsense for just good stuff. I mean, if you go, like, this is an eclectic group that gathers up here. We could figure some stuff out with this group that gathers back here. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. So you eliminate the noise where you can. You cut it out. You give yourself some time. You have to have time. And the third thing is everything else that you have to do, point it in a direction that puts your focus still on God and gives Him glory. If you can do that, if you can do that, we grow. Our focus determines so many things in our lives. Focusing on Jesus is going to do the same. It may change or determine where you work, where you live, the size of your family, the nature of your relationships. Focusing on Jesus is going to determine who you hang out with on a regular basis. It's going to determine who you break bread with, who you eat with, who you spend your time with, how you invest yourself if we focus on the Lord. And I'm not saying that all of a sudden you'll just hang out with church people, because Jesus didn't do that. You might, instead of hanging out so much with church people, you might go hang out with some non-church people so you can share hope with them. You might change your job. You might intentionally not change your job because God's called you there. I've had many discussions with people like that, with myself like that. I'm going to leave this job as soon as God says I can. And then you don't get to. Focused on Jesus. Our focus determines so many things. In all of this comes a warning from Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Should read this as if God is speaking, and he says, I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The warning there is this. He says, I know you're still doing good things. You're still doing good stuff. And you've not tired of that. And that's awesome. It's great. But what you have done is lost entirely your focus on God and the love that you had for Him. You're still doing good things, but with no purpose behind it at all. And so your good stuff is trash. And if you don't fix it, I'm done too. That's the Adam Johnson translation. If you don't fix it, God's done too. He says, I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. There's a lot of symbology there. Symbolism. There's a lot of symbolism there. I won't go into today, but he says, if you're done and you're not going to go back to this place of loving me, I'm done too. That's our warning. We have to, as believers, come to a place where we reestablish and put our focus on Jesus. It's a perfect time. We're still in January. We still have a week left of prayer and fasting. It's a great time to put our focus on the Lord. To remember how far we've fallen. To clear things up a little bit. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." That's our warning. Do it. With that comes a promise from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you." That's the prophet Isaiah speaking to the Lord. And speaking in a way that he's declaring what God is going to do. And laying that out as a promise for us. He's speaking and writing this down so that we know what God is going to do. And what God is going to do is he's going to keep us in peace for trusting in him. A laser is just a really focused energy. A magnifying glass can start a fire. A believer focused on God can accomplish incredibly great things. We focus on Jesus because he says to, because we flourish there. We focus by eliminating distractions and setting aside time and energy and pointing everything else that we still have to do towards Christ. When we do all of that, God is glorified and we can do anything. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established and loved, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width, the height and the depth of God's love. And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one of these people. I ask that you would go with us and bless them beyond measure, beyond reason. God, I ask that you would help to have peace in their homes, that you would reconcile things and bring things together. God, I ask that you would help us to be incredibly laser magnified focused on you. We thank you for all of that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.